Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
All right, 305. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019. On this football Friday morning, we'll give you some picks. Get you ready for the weekend as now football really is back now that we're done with baseball. The baseball season is unfortunately over for everyone. Free agency starts in, I guess, 5 days after the World Series. So 4 days from today, people will start to make offers to the great Juan Soto. We've talked about that a little bit. We talked about the New York Jets, who had an incredible win last night. And, yeah, is it a little, you know, much to call it incredible? Sure, but why not? It's 305. It was a very good win, a solid win, a win where they came back after looking much like more of the same in the first half. I mean, the first drive tells you all. First two plays. You got Devontae Adams streaking down the sideline, and Rodgers throws the ball out of bounds. And then Breece Hall drops the pass over the middle, and he's like, here we go. You got Corley dropping the touchdown before he runs into the end zone, which is just unbelievable to me. And it just felt like this team is destined for another loss against the Texans team that's solid, but dealing with injuries at the wide receiver position. Obviously, Nico Collins not there. Steph Diggs not there. Tank Dell still there, and he had a big play in the second half that almost cost the Jets. But after a lackluster first half, 7-0 losing in the first half, they come out in the second half and look like a different team, and Aaron Rodgers played much better, and Garrett Wilson. And to me, that's the story of the game. In many ways, is the relationship between Garrett Wilson and Aaron Rodgers is starting to really develop that we always suspected, and we could saw glimpses of it with Garrett Wilson dealing with Zach Wilson and how difficult that was, and we all know Zach Wilson's limitations. We just assumed Rodgers would get here and he would take off, and it hasn't happened right away, and it's taken some time. And now it just feels like they're connected. The offense made some good play calling. They did everything they needed to do. Wilson makes the incredible catch. I mean, it's going to be all over the place. Just an incredible one-handed leap and grab. But, you know, late in this game, they go down the field. He throws that touchdown pass to give him a lead. The defense gives up a big play down the other way to Tank Dell, but they figure out a way, even with a horrendous personal foul call on a made field goal, to get out of their hold. And then the offense has the ability to go down the field and not just milk the clock and not just try and waste away time and waste timeouts. They go down the field, have, you know, bold play calling on third and short where most teams would try and run and run the clock. They roll out. Aaron Rodgers, who looked at times in the second half much more mobile, looked a lot better physically in this game in the second half, making big-time plays. And then they put in the end zone with Devontae Adams, who's been very important to this team, even though they've lost the first couple games with him here. Like, even though he doesn't help the defense, even though he doesn't help some of the different ills of this team, and wide receiver might not have been the one glaring spot, it's just they need as much help as they can get offensively. He's clearly helped the relationship with Garrett Wilson and Rodgers, because that's kind of gotten better since Devontae Adams has been here. And he provides one more guy that Rodgers can go to and know exactly where he's going to be. And on that touchdown, you know, that's exactly what happened to seal the victory for the New York Jets, and a good win. And now they're back in it at 3-6. Life is still living. They're still every once in a while you talk yourself into one of those spots. And you're like, life is still alive. And despite still being 3-6 and a long road to go, there are winnable games out in front of the Jets. There just are. And while they're going to have to show me a lot more before I really start to believe one half of football against a solid but injury-plagued at the moment Texans team isn't enough to suddenly make me forget last week against New England completely, or what we've seen over the last 5 weeks during that losing streak. But to be fair, even if you didn't think this would work, even if you knew this was coming, you can't deny the talent on the team. The team is talented. And while there's been issues with Sauce Gardner, who wasn't good at the early part of this game either. Like, he's been playing some of the worst football of his career right now, Sauce Gardner. You still believe in the defense that did okay in this game. They did figure out a way to make the final stand. They only gave up 10 points in this game. It wasn't 13 points in this game, rather, excuse me. But you know they're compromised. It's still, you need to see more from this team is my point. More defensively, certainly more offensively. But to come back in the second half, down 10-0, and outscore them 21-7 in the second half, find a way to make plays, get into the end zone, have a great catch from Wilson, get the ball back with 4 minutes looking to milk the clock and go down and stick it in the end zone. Those are positive, positive things for this New York Jets team, where it had to start somewhere. If they're going to make an improbable run, if they're going to start turning this season around, it had to start somewhere. Hopefully it started last night at MetLife Stadium against the Houston Texans. They played very well, good offensively, and just looked better in that second half. Moved the ball, looked like an offense. Loved the play calling. Everything about that second half was really impressive and just something you needed to see from the New York Jets. And we'll see what happens. Now they have a 10-day layoff until next Sunday out in Arizona, 4 o'clock. And that's a winnable game. 3-6, 4-6, 5-6. See what happens. See what happens with this Jet team. 888-808-1019. And that catch is just remarkable. I know everyone's going to want to compare it to the Odell Beckham catch. I still think Odell Beckham catch is better. But what we saw from Wilson and the ability to, again, I don't know how it's done. Because I joked, I have two shins and two knees. I know how they work. I understand their connection to each other. And how in the world you can get a shin down before you get a knee down, like that is a remarkable body control. And to get that touchdown, that's the great catch of the year, maybe one of the best catches we've seen in a long time from Garrett Wilson. And you knew that was there. You knew it was in him. And that's what you expected from Aaron Rodgers. There's been two main things from Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets that I didn't expect to kill this team, and I feel like it's killed them. One is the connection to Garrett Wilson that hasn't been there up until maybe the last few weeks and certainly in this game that led to points. And the other thing is Aaron Rodgers at the line of scrimmage. Like, I just did not expect Aaron Rodgers and the cadence and to be an issue and the false starts and the delay of games and, like, a lot of that stuff I thought would fade away. All the problems this team has had that we've talked about over and over again under Robert Saleh and now Ulbrich, under previous quarterbacks, I just felt like, you know, all right, that's with Zach Wilson under center. He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know what he's looking at. You get Aaron Rodgers in here, and suddenly those pre-snap penalties are going to fade away, and they haven't. And it's been one of their biggest issues. And it didn't really come back and bite them in this game necessarily, but the idea that that's been something that's hampered them, I would think eventually that'll get on track. Obviously, the Wilson thing is getting on track. And maybe this thing, amazingly enough, just is taking a little bit more time than you would have hoped. And right now, you just got to hope, is it too little too late? Or can they actually make a run of this thing? Because no joke, they have to win 10 games. So you're talking about the rest of the way here going 7-1. It's not easy. 888-808-1019. Frankie in Mayopac. What's up, Frankie?
Hey, Chris, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. How are you?
Very well, thank you. First off, I want to say I work nights, and you make my hour ride home feel like it's 15 minutes. So
thank you.
I appreciate that.
I appreciate you saying so. That's very nice. Thank you.
I wouldn't lie to you. First off, I've been a diehard Yankee fan my entire life. I don't even want to talk about it.
Yeah.
What I do want to talk about is I bleed Jet Green. And listen, nice win last night. You saw some of that amazing talent from Garrett Wilson. Paul was running the ball fairly decent. Everybody made changes for the second half. The defense stepped up. Nice
yeah, you
win.
Saw Quinnen Williams get some sacks. You saw Hassan Reddick get a big sack in this game.
No doubt. But you know what, though, Chris? This is like watching The Godfather. I've seen it 50 times, and it never changes. They'll wind up winning just enough games to miss the playoffs and screw up a draft pick and wind up getting like the 18th or 19th pick, and it'll be all the best players be off the board, and we'll get some scrub that we don't have enough coaching. It's terrible. It's just terrible to watch.
I hear you.
I don't want to go through this again.
No, I know. Well, listen, you got to hope this time they, you know, leave the cannoli and take the gun. You got to hope that eventually it changes in some way.
Until they're mathematically eliminated, I'm not giving up hope.
Right.
Believe me, but, I mean, come on. Why would I expect anything different?
Well, because you have Aaron Rodgers. Because you have Aaron Rodgers, and he's the best quarterback you've had in forever. Like, literally, the
have
Jets,
you seen a couple
the Jets
of throws
have never.
You missed?
No, oh, the first one especially. He threw it out of bounds.
Oh.
I mean, he didn't even give Devontae Adams a chance to catch that ball. It was a hideous throw. But he is still Aaron Rodgers. He's the best quarterback to ever wear a Jet uniform. Now, maybe in the moment, you want to say Namath was better. This is the tail end of Rodgers' career. But there's no doubt the most talented quarterback to ever wear a Jet uniform is currently wearing one right now. So when you say, why do I have faith it could be different? That's one reason. That's one reason. The other reason is that they're immensely talented. Like, I do believe this roster is filled with talent. And if they weren't so freaking dysfunctional, they wouldn't be here. And if for whatever reason, sometimes, like, there's a moment in this game. There's a moment in this game that makes me feel different about the Jets. Their defense gets a big sack late in this game. They're up 4 points. They're up 14-10, I think, right? Or whatever. 14-10. They're up 14-10. The Texans are driving. They make a big sack on third down to force a 44-yard field goal or a 43-yard field goal. They make the field goal, and you go, okay, they're up 1 point still, like 6 minutes left in the game. Let's see if this offense can go ice. Wait, there's a flag. They get called for a personal foul on the center. They jump over the center, and the player brings his knee into the center's head and gets a 15-yard penalty, which is half the distance to the goal. And instead of getting the ball back up one, Texans have the ball first and 10 at the 12-yard line. That is a play that has killed the Jets for years. That is a play when it happens. Every Jet fan, especially you, buddy, every Jet fan is saying in that moment, that's going to cost us the game. We are going to lose. They're going to put it in the end zone. This game is over. And instead, not only does that not happen, they make a stop, they force another field goal. And not only does it just not matter and it's the same score anyway, they miss the field goal. The personal foul call benefited the New York Jets. They ended up coming out in a better situation than before it happened. Not only was more clock run off the more time run off the clock, but now they're still up four as opposed to only one. When things like that start happening to the New York Jets, when disasters turn into rewards, that is something that is unlike any movie you've seen before of a New York Jets season. That is different. So maybe, just maybe, things are starting to turn around for them. But I wouldn't hold my breath. There is a curse over this franchise, the likes of which I don't know what you do. I'm not sure that makes sense. The likes of which I'm not sure what you do. Eddie in Rockland, what's up, Eddie?
Hey, Chris, what's happening?
What's going on,
First
Eddie?
First of all,
yes.
Let's hear about what candy you stole from the kids.
Yeah, the famous dad tax. I didn't take any dad tax today. We separated it. We kind of established some candies that my wife is going to bring in for her coworkers today. But there's a bowl of candy still sitting there that the kids anticipate eating every ounce of, and they will not. I don't know if there's a couple of hundred grand bars in there. Those will probably be mine. Depending on any gummy situation. That's usually where I go. I usually go gummies or the $100,000 bars. But there will be something taken for sure.
Oh, all right. That's good. Well, the little guy doesn't like candy.
Believe it or not, he doesn't eat donuts. He doesn't eat candy. Like, so it's only just for my older son.
Oh, that's good. And
the little guy is just eats nothing but the peas. That's it. He eats pasta, pancakes, peanut butter, pizza. Like, that's about all he eats. Very finicky little eater. We're trying to work at it.
All right, I got a couple of questions for you. One thing on the Yankees, I want to know how you feel on this. I would judge. All season long, they heard they have to sign Soto, and when they do,
he's going to be making so much more than Judge. Mm-hmm. And Judge's feelings are going to be hurt. How do you feel about that now with what he did in this World Series? Are you worried about Judge's feelings being hurt?
Not at all. No, never was. Never was.
That was a big topic, right?
It was, absolutely, and I disagreed with it. I mean, but yes, it certainly was. It was a talking point. You can't pay him more than Judge. Judge is better than him. Two, Judge is your guy, and he's the MVP. He's your captain. You can't have him, you know, not making the most money on the team, which I thought was ridiculous. Alex Rodriguez made more money than Derek Jeter. Like, and the idea of, like, he's younger, and he's the next guy up. This is how free agency works. That, you know, I think Aaron Judge is well aware of how free agency works, and the fact that he's hitting free agency, you know, 4 years younger than when Judge hit free agency. I think it's ridiculous that he doesn't understand that more money is going to be given to him, and nor do I care about his feelings, quite honestly. He'll have to just suck it up.
Right. And on our Jets, you know, our J-E-T-S, Jets.
That is correct.
I saw a little more chemistry. I told you Rodgers needed to take charge. It looked like he took charge of the game. But you didn't think the Texans were going to score 13 points.
Right.
And
that's
when
fair.
They go out to Arizona, they're going to be done by Thanksgiving. We already know that.
The Jets?
My point is, what is going to happen to this franchise when you don't have a future quarterback? You don't know how much Rodgers can go another 6 games next year, another year, but they're going to hit the bottom again.
Yeah.
Well, they're at the bottom.
Yeah.
Still.
No, this is worse than the bottom. You're right. I remember we had that talk, and you were flabbergasted that I couldn't give you an answer for who plays quarterback next year, or that my answer is I didn't care. You take a swing like this, you don't worry about who's next. Unfortunately, that's just the way it works. And right now, I don't know what they do after next year. Now, again, you're most likely right. The season's probably dead. I felt that way last week. One win doesn't make me feel all that much better about it. They're still 3-6 in a tough AFC. It's a very difficult thing to come back from. They literally have to go 7-1 over the next 8 games. Now, I'll tell you, a lot of those games are winnable, but a lot of the games they've lost have been winnable. So if you ask me right now, I would tell you the season's dead. I mean, it's most likely dead. And the idea of what they're going to do next year, I don't know. I'm assuming Rodgers is going to come back. If he doesn't come back, I don't know what they do. And depending on where they are in the draft, I would say for the first time, I wouldn't have done this last year, but this year, if they love a quarterback and they find themselves in a position to draft a young quarterback that they really believe in and love, it kind of makes sense. One more year of Rodgers, groom a young quarterback, give him a year, try to build the team around him a little bit more, but I don't know where the Jets go. They are in miserable standing if this season goes the way we thought it was going to go last week. So, yeah, they're going to have a new head coach. They're going to have a new GM. I don't know if they'll have a new quarterback. I would assume he'd want to stay. But, I mean, right now, the Jets are in, rough shape. James in Long Beach. What's up, James?
Hey, C-Mac. How are you?
I'm good, buddy. How are you? How are we doing at 3:30 in the morning? You good?
Yeah, I'm working, you know.
Yep.
You know, the overnights, you know how they work.
I know how that goes.
I was, in my 29 years, more pissed off today as a fan, as a Yankee fan, than I ever have in my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
What they did last night was an abomination to the sport, and they've done it all year long. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand how Boone can come back. This is not something that just happened last night, and it happened all year long.
Right.
You could go to Anthony Volpe's base running with DJ LeMahieu in that Red Sox series earlier in the year. You could go to Verdugo just missing a ball in left field. You could call it fundamentals. You could call it a lack of concentration. Somebody needs to be held accountable for what happened last night in the World Series.
Right.
They had a better batting average than the Dodgers. They had a lower ERA than the Dodgers. They should be up 3-2 going back to L.A.
Right.
And because of everything that happened throughout the year, they're not.
Yeah, but I understand that. But when you say held accountable, and the game you're complaining about was game 5 of the World Series they were playing in. Yeah, like they were in, they were in the World Series. They were in the World Series, though. Like whatever, like they were one of the final two teams playing. Whatever flaws they had, they were better than the flaws of 28 other teams.
No, see, that's no. They were better of the teams in the American League.
Okay, you don't know that they were one of the final two teams playing. Bottom line. No one, you know, no one cares. You got to the World Series. That's it. When they were in the tougher American League and losing, no one seemed to give a damn. I don't remember that. I don't remember a lot of talk like, oh, if only the Yankees were in the National League when they were beating up, when the Red Sox and the Yankees were beating each other up, or they were losing to the Astros and winning World Series, when, you know, the team that made it out of the National League was the Nationals, who won 89 games.
But how does this improve? This has been going on now for 7 years.
Yeah, I mean, on some sloppy play, I understand that, but they got to get... How does it improve? How does it improve with a new manager? Like what do you think they're doing? Brian Cashman's not going anywhere. The organization's not going anywhere. Like, what about that game and game five? Do you think a new manager changes? What?
It wasn't just game five.
No, I understand that. But again, they got to game five of the World Series.
Okay, and they lost. They lost because of their fault. Game one
they need,
and game
yeah,
five.
Yeah, they need to change things. But again, Gleyber Torres is the main culprit of a lot of this stuff. Like, you don't think they've talked to Gleyber Torres or coached Gleyber Torres? Like, some players just don't get it.
I don't think they push Gleyber Torres to a point where
he's a grown man in the major leagues making millions of dollars. How hard do they have to push him?
And he's a top prospect in baseball.
And for someone else, for the Cubs, when I ask you, every time I call him a homegrown player, I get a million calls. You know, he grew up in the Cubs system. He's not a homegrown Yankee, grew up in the Cubs system. So why didn't the Cubs instill this into him?
When did he get here? 19. And here's my big, why are they so bad at base running and fielding? Why are they so?
Well, the fielding I think is easier than the base running, and both are the same thing. The players aren't good at it. They're playing a third baseman right now who hasn't played third base a lot of his career. They're playing a right fielder who's the greatest hitter we've ever seen, but he's not a very good right fielder. They've got an old, aging, can barely move first baseman in Anthony Rizzo. They've got a right fielder playing center field. They got a young kid playing catcher and a backup catcher who can't throw anybody out. Like. Well, is it a mystery? And they got Gleyber Torres, who leads the league in errors, and Gleyber Torres, who's graded out under any defensive grading you can possibly fathom as the worst second baseman in the American League. Do you think that grading is because Boone is his coach? Or do you think Gleyber Torres is just a fundamentally flawed defensive player?
I think it's both.
No, it's not. It's more about his defense. It's more about him as a defensive player.
Then also the arrogance of this organization to just put guys wherever they want. They pick and choose when they care about defense. We don't care. We care about defense with left field with Alex Verdugo, who was worse than Joey Gallo some of this year.
Worse than Joey Gallo for the course of his career. Look at his numbers. He's had a 790 OPS most of his life. Like, he had a terrible year this year.
Yeah, and they refused to make changes. They refused to get a righty bat when we were struggling against lefty all year. And I know that's not Boone.
Yeah, and Jason Dominguez was the guy. He got hurt.
Didn't have a righty bat. Jason Dominguez struggled batting righty.
Yeah, I know, but he's the switch-hitting guy that was supposed to take over. And then at the trade deadline, they needed a left-handed hitter or just some pop. They got the guy they could get in Jazz Chisholm.
No, they needed a right-handed hitter because of those struggles against lefty starting pitching.
No, I understand that, but they got who they could get. Like, give me the right-handed hitter that went that they should have got.
Ahmad Rosario had, like, what, an 810 OPS against right-handed pitching?
I guess. And then who are you going to play, Ahmad Rosario? I guess. I mean, I don't know. But, like, they went out and made an impact with the offense with Jazz Chisholm.
It wasn't a mystery that Dominguez was having Tommy John. That wasn't a mystery.
He was supposed to be back in June. He was on his way to be back in June. He was playing in minor league games and performing in June. And then he hurt his oblique and he was gone for 2 months.
Yes,
Tommy John wasn't a mystery.
That's why
they went out and got Verdugo, because of the Tommy John. But it wasn't a mystery, no. But then they were getting ready to get Jason Dominguez back, and he pulled his oblique.
And that all before the deadline.
No, I understand. They had an opportunity at the deadline. Totally agree. They did. Not a lot happened at the deadline, and they got probably the best offensive player who went anywhere.
Well, not a lot happened at the deadline. Look what the Dodgers did at the deadline.
Yeah, they got Tommy Edmonds, who you'd be complaining about if they got Edmonds. Like, he happened to play well in the postseason. Like, nobody knew that coming. Like, if I would have told you they traded for Edmonds, you'd have been like, freaking Cashman. That's what he does? Edmonds?
Well, not
is he serious?
Jack and Edmonds, no.
Yeah, you still wouldn't have been happy. I
would have been fine, but
they didn't do enough at the deadline. I'm not arguing they didn't do enough at the deadline. I agree with you. I would have done more at the deadline. I agree, and they have failings. There's no doubt about it. But like we talk about them, like you say, they have to be held accountable for this. An amazingly unbelievable, weird fifth inning in the World Series. Like they were in the World Series. That's all I'm saying. I'm pissed off as anybody at what happened in that game. I'm sick to my stomach. And they need to be better at different things. But it's like when we look at it and we say, how are they so bad defensively? And I'm like, well, they don't have good defensive players. How are they bad on the base path? Other than Volpe before Jazz Chisholm came here, who on the base path is a good base runner?
But it's not just being a good base, like
what
like
is
I
it
said,
then?
That play with Volpe earlier in this year in the Red Sox series, they played DJ. It's a lack of concentration and bad baseball, and it happens all year long.
Right.
And the only you watch every game like I have.
Yes.
Were you totally shocked with what happened last night
in the fifth inning?
I was not.
It was two nights ago in the fifth inning. Totally shocked. Aaron Judge hasn't made an error all year. You're not shocked when he drops an easy fly ball. He hasn't made an error all year. You think Aaron Boone had anything to do with him dropping that pop-up? If he had a better manager, he wouldn't drop the pop-up.
I think they have a serious lack.
It's absolute nonsense. I completely disagree with you. Do you think Derek Jeter boots a ground ball if Aaron Boone's his manager?
No, but not when it's a constant theme all year long.
Well, no, but I'm saying like it's the players too. Like they have a group of players right now who, for whatever reason, like, and again, you want to put it on Boone, fine. I'm willing to do that, but I also put it on the players. We're skirting the players' responsibility.
Oh.
We so quickly, like Gleyber Torres, we yell about Gleyber and Gleyber and Gleyber, but
100%.
Then when something happens, we go, freaking Boone. Like Gleyber did it. Gleyber's one.
100%. You're right.
Well, then, but you can't have it both ways, though.
You're not replacing nine players.
Wasn't nine players that have been like this. It's not nine players. Aaron Judge didn't make an error all year. Aaron Judge made you want to talk about defense? Aaron Judge made a leaping catch at the wall two innings earlier.
Yeah.
Like, that's
okay.
What do you mean, okay? So no one cares that he made a good play. Like, he dropped an easy pop-up that's not has anything to do with Boone. Like, they go, no. You don't think they practice you don't think they practice PFP? They don't practice the play at first base? You think that, like, Cole had no idea what to do in that situation? Or did he just pull a rock? It's not on Boone.
I think the lack of attention to detail all year long has hurt this team.
No doubt. It wasn't that
and
inning.
Yes, you're
that
right.
That inning
right.
had nothing to do with it.
And the players need to be held accountable. But so does somebody else. You can't replace every player.
I don't think it was an every player thing. I really don't.
I mean, we could point to multiple spots of the whole year where guys.
Yeah,
like,
but it happens, bro. Like we just watched. Like, do you think Cleveland has a good manager? Because I'll tell you right now, the Gold Glove caliber shortstop dropped a pop up in the infield, Rocchio against the Yankees. Then on a play at second base, when he clearly has to just treat it like a first baseman, he rushes and tries to turn a double play and drops the ball and sets up the inning for the Yankees. Do Cleveland have a problem with attention to detail, or do you focus on the New York Yankees every day and don't watch other major league teams having the same issues?
All of the metrics say the Yankees are a terrible base running team.
Yes, because they don't have good base running players. The Sherman article, no doubt. Outfield shifting and different things. I can't speak to that. Have you watched the game and felt like they don't shift the outfielders right? I don't know.
I can't speak to that.
Right,
either.
That's what I'm saying. So I don't know. But what I do know is Gleyber Torres is not a good defensive player, and I don't care. He can go get coached by Bruce Bochy. He can go get managed by Terry Francona. He can go get managed by whoever you deem to be the greatest manager in baseball. He's not going to be a good defensive player. He doesn't have it in him.
Sure.
That's not going to happen. He's still going to continue to make gaffes on the base paths. He's still going to continue to do that. That's the kind of player he is. That's why I don't want him here next year. Plain and simple. I love him. He's offensively, he's been really good. I don't want him because I deem him to be a losing player for all of the reasons you talk about. And I'm not skirting, there is a lot of truth to what you're saying. I think it's more of a mental thing with like the we'll be fine type thing. A mental lack of focus at times, sure, over the course of 162. I don't think Aaron Boone is the reason they had lack of focus in the World Series. It's the World Series. Anyone can have lack of focus over 162 games. Anyone could not run out of ground ball. Like they were praising the Dodgers for running everything out. I promise you, if you watch the Dodgers over 162, they didn't run out ground balls. I promise you. Every team that you think is the best at everything did all the same stuff the Yankees do. Maybe not at the same level. But they didn't in the World Series. You know why? Because it's the World Series. And when you drop pop-ups in the World Series, that's on you. It's on you. When you don't cover first in the World Series, it's on you. It's not on the manager. It's not. It's on you. And there has been some sloppy play, no doubt. I also think it's like, and they are defensively not a great team. I think they have some good defensive players. I think they have some bad defensive players. Like, they have a gold glove winning shortstop. You want to, and by any metric, they're a bad defensive team. They have a gold winning shortstop. They gold glove winning shortstop. They had a platinum winning catcher the year 2 years ago with Trevino. Judge in right field is excellent. They were forced to move him to center because Jason Dominguez got hurt, and they brought in Juan Soto, who's not good in the outfield. And Verdugo was really good in the outfield a lot this year. He fell down at times and did. How was he in the World Series defensively, making that play and going into the stands? Volpe made good plays defensively. There was some good defense here. There was no problem, no error from Glaber the entire, other than the mind-numbing decision to not make sure he didn't get in front of that ball coming into the outfield, but he didn't have any ground balls or drop pop-ups or anything like that. Nobody really ran the bases like wild. We heard, the Yankees can't control the run game, other than one game against Cleveland when Trevino started and they stole a couple bases. They threw out Dodgers on the base path left and right. Otani was thrown out twice in the series. Even Trevino threw out a runner trying to steal. They lost the World Series for many different reasons. Some of them because of the laissez-faire and bad defense that they play. Game one had something to do with that. The base running in the Cleveland series, absolutely. But the reason I'm sick to my stomach and the reason why they put forth an inning that the likes of which we've never seen really didn't have much to do with the manager. It didn't. You want to fire him? Fine. I'm so fed up and pissed off at this team. And I understand the article that, and we'll come back and talk more about the article that Sherman wrote, but like, I don't want to sweep that inning under the rug of all the same nonsense, because it wasn't. That was the players folding. It was the players folding. It wasn't the manager folding them. It was the players folding. The moment became too big. They were about to win a game, and they were like, nah. And if you think the manager taught them how to say nah, I disagree. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan.
Start some trouble and call The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
I've never seen. All right, 3:43, McMonagle here with you. A little more than an hour left in our five-hour midnight ride to the warm-up show at 5, 888-808-1019. Talking mainly Yankees and Jets. Jets coming off a victory against the Houston Texans, playing well in the second half. Aaron Rodgers and this offense getting it together, putting together three touchdown drives in the second half, including one of the better catches you'll ever see from Garrett Wilson, and a touchdown to Devontae Adams in the end to seal it. Defense doing just enough. Did hold a team that, you know, has you know, has a decent enough offense. They've been struggling with injuries, obviously, as two of their top wide receivers were down for this game in Diggs and Nico Collins. But still, holding them to 13 points, scoring 21 in the second half after a miserable first half. The beginning of a journey of the New York Jets. 888-808-1019. Val is in the Bronx. What's up, Val?
Brother Mac, good morning. How are you doing, sir?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm all right. You know, I have a few Yankee points I want to make, but I wanted to make sure you heard me when I said that yesterday. I really meant when I said thank you. I needed the season to be two more games, you know, before it ended. But I meant it sincerely. Thank you for, because going back to even before, even in spring training, I felt like I had a group of people that, you know, you, all the other talkies that filled in for you, McPherson, even all the people who call in, who actually were going through it and felt it and needed it to have the next two games just as much as I did. So thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
To get to the Yankee points, you know, you hit so many things on the head right now. And I have a few things I wanted to say. I feel like people, the whole thing with the Boone stuff and all that stuff like that, you know, before I was listening to the post game yesterday, and Susan Waldman was kind of like waiting around to get a chance to talk to Boone and talk to the rest of the players. And there was this big delay, even for them to get to Fox. And we found out after that they were talking amongst each other, like all the players were addressing each other and everything like that. And that's why it took so long. I feel like, you know, as much as I felt that first thing went wrong in that fifth inning and everything like that, collectively as a team, they let each other down. And I feel like all of that time that they took so long was because everybody in that room had a reason to apologize for some. Even Dominguez, who didn't see the field as much, but if he had done what he should have done when he had his audition, maybe he might have been out there. Everybody in there did something to contribute to what happened. And what was so bad about it was that, for like I said yesterday, for 4 2/3 innings, you actually felt like there was a chance for us that we were about to exercise two demons in one. Because that narrative with Judge was about to change, and that whole thing with going back to when we got swept out was about to change too. You could feel it. Things was like motively, and I mean like meaningfully different. You can hear it, you could see it, you could feel it. And all of a sudden, once everything went, it just went away. But they had opportunities after that. They took the lead, and they had chances after that. It was all on them. The thing that scares me the most, Brother Mac, and you touched on it a few moments ago, we could do all the metrics and you could see the guy, you know, tell me what he weighs, how tall he is, what his swing looks like, all that stuff, all the things that they could do to judge a player and tell me what he's going to give me in a field, how fast he throws, what his velocity is and everything. The stuff that you can't do, the same way they could give you that crappy stuff with the umps on who's hitter friendly and who's pitcher friendly. The thing you can't do with players is tell me what's inside. You can't tell me what's in between their ears. And you can't tell me how to train that up. And that's what scares me the most. Because no matter who Cashman goes out and gets, no matter if he changes the manager or if he doesn't, how do you, like, tell me how? Because I feel like, just like you were talking about with the Jets, the talent is there in that room. I don't care what anybody said throughout the whole couple of nights with who got on who and who didn't do this and who didn't do that. The talent is there. We have some of the best players in the world on our team, Juan Soto included. We had them on this team. Mm-hmm. And something went awry in between their ears. And I, no matter what you do, as much as I love the ride that we had, and we were about to change it and we just couldn't do it. Maybe they're just not ready yet. But then how do we make them ready? How do we change that? That's the frustrating thing. Have a good morning, Matt.
Yeah, you got it, Val. I mean, listen... I mean, a lot of it just boils down to, like I know they lost that game that way and they lost game one this way, but if Judge hits, like, this is, you know, when you put together a team, right, it's hard to build a perfect team. Like, there is no perfect team. Every team has flaws. Every one of them, even the Dodgers. Their flaws were least impactful and they won a World Series. When you put together a team, you build it with flaws and you build it with strengths. You try and make your strengths as maximum as you can and minimize your flaws. The Yankees have been built to power through and slug their way through a season. They got Soto, they got Judge, they got Stanton. They have power arms, Cole, Rodon. Mistake or not, If you don't like the way they're built, fine. I get it. They're not a good defensive team. They don't have excellent defensive players. That is not their strength. Judge is a fine center fielder, but he's not a great center fielder. Soto is not a good outfielder. They got Jazz Chisholm because of the failings of DJ LeMahieu and, you know, who they had to sign again. And they also, in New York here, they have to sign players that, like, the fans would have revolted if DJ LeMahieu, coming off hitting three, winning a batting title and finishing third in the MVP, wasn't retained. The fans would have went nuts. But now it's a contract that's a disaster. So they had to recover from that. They had to play Jazz. They got Jazz, who's the best they could get at the trade deadline. They needed more offense than defense at that moment. They got him. He's a pretty good defensive third baseman, but playing out of position. Volpe's a Gold Glove winner. Gleyber Torres, who's come up through the system, is not a very good defensive player. We know on and on and on. They're not very good defensively. They also don't have a lot of athleticism on the base path. It's Volpe and Jazz. That's it. Rizzo can't move. Stanton literally cannot move. Neither of their catchers can run. Soto's not a base stealer. Judge can run a little bit, and Verdugo's not a base stealer. They don't have a good base-running team. They don't have a good defensive team. They have a slug, power pitch, and bullpen team. Right? That's who they are. And it was good enough to get them to the World Series. And I'm telling you right now, and people like to say this, and I understand why. Well, you see what happens when Judge doesn't hit. When Judge doesn't hit, Judge hitting during the course of the regular season masks all these flaws. He doesn't mask them. He's put there to overcome them. Like, that's how the team is built. The team is built for the greatest hitter to be the greatest hitter. That's how the team is built. When you pay him $40 million a year, you need him to be the guy. If he's not the guy, the reasons that, you know, you don't invest that much money in because you're paying him $40 million will come up and bite you. I mean, yeah. So, the team is flawed, and without him hitting it, no, it doesn't mask it. He raises high tide. He's supposed to help you overcome your flaws. That's what it is. That's a team. That's what it is. You have strengths, you have weaknesses. Right now, does anybody say Patrick Mahomes' play is masking the problems they have at wide receiver? Or is it, I build a team and I know I have Patrick Mahomes and I don't have to have great wide receivers. I can have flaws at different places. They're not a perfect team. If Patrick Mahomes goes through a postseason and throws four interceptions and no touchdown passes, he's going to lose that game. And nobody's going to say, well, you know what happened? Eventually, their lack of play from other positions offensively caught up to them in the Super Bowl, and they couldn't win. They're going to go, well, Patrick Mahomes didn't play well. That's what happens when Patrick Mahomes doesn't play well. If Aaron Judge hit in this series, they would have been in a position to win it. If he comes through with a couple of hits early on in this, and that's what's so frustrating. You know what makes me sick? What I'm sitting here today sick with and why I'm still miserable is because Aaron Judge woke up. Aaron Judge hit the home run. He hit the double down the line. He got on base multiple times over the last two games. Like, he was waking up. He was about to get hot. They were up 5-0. Cole was dominant. They were going to L.A. Now, who knows what happened? Obviously. Rodon could have given up 6 runs in the first inning. I have no idea. But it felt like things were trending in the right direction. Judge was going to be Judge, and they could give them a chance in the next two games. They needed Judge and the offense to be there. And if Judge and the offense aren't there, we can go on and on about the defense and the base running. Totally true. Those are the flaws of the team. If your strengths aren't strengths, all you have left are your flaws. And with all those flaws, they got to Game 5 of the World Series. And as Susan Waldman said, not me, Susan Waldman said in the pregame as I was driving in the other day before, or even in the postgame of the final game, after they had lost, when asked about Aaron Boone, they got no offensive production out of left field, nothing out of third base. nothing out of first base for most of the year, nothing out of catcher until Wells got hot in August. And he led them to the World Series. Now, that's not as clear. That's not a clear-cut answer, nor is he's the reason for all their problems. There's a gray area in all of this. And if they want to move on from Aaron Boone, fine. Who do you replace him with? Who? And if you say anybody, okay. Now, I was just talking with Rami on the other side. We think Mendoza's done a great job with the Mets, right? Mendoza's done an unbelievable job with the Mets. He's held players accountable and all that stuff. Totally true. I remember in a pretty big game, Edwin Diaz not covering first base. If only they would have held him accountable more. Maybe he wouldn't have done that. It is what, I mean, the team is who the team is. And you want to put that on Brian Cashman and the way they go about building it? Okay. Then be prepared not to sign stars. And you want to have a bunch of fundamental guys? You want to have nine Tommy Edmonds? That's great. And it really works in the postseason. See if you get there. Because they do have Tommy Edman and you know, but they also have Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts. Freddie Freeman hit a home run in every game in the series. What'd Judge do? You want to know the difference? That's the difference. 888-808-1019. All right, one final hour in our five-hour midnight ride, talking mainly Yankees and Jets. There is a football game from the New York Giants. If you're unaware, they're playing the Commanders later today. We can get to it. We'll give you some picks, go around the league a little bit. But we will take your calls on the Yankees, on the Jets, as the Yankees were coming to terms with this Yankee loss. And there is now you have to look at some of those answers, because as much as I said, all those positions that didn't help them this year, that's how many positions are open next year. What do they do in the outfield? Is Jason Dominguez someone who steps in if they sign Juan Soto? What do they do at first base, assuming Rizzo isn't back? Gleyber Torres, what do you do with Gleyber? There's a lot of questions on this team. And we don't have the typical 3 weeks of getting ready for free agency. The Yankees made it to the World Series this year. Free agency starts in 4 days. This is a big, obviously, with the Juan Soto deal hovering over it, but there's a lot of questions on this team. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. One more hour until 5 and the warm-up show. We'll be right back.